blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 16, the 8th stanza. The wicked shall perish. The nations shall fall, forgetting their God, who is God over all. But God will remember the prayer of the weak, most surely fulfilling the hope of the meek. The 8th stanza of Psalter 16.
To read out of God's holy and precious word from the first book of the Bible, or from the second book of the Bible, Exodus 2. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and, behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water the father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Thus far. We will now read the form of baptism for the administration of baptism, as it can be found on page 126 of the Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, lays his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished and the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Niels? Father and Mother Oscom, dear parents, we have just heard out of God's word that God remembered his covenant. And you have just made a promise. It is not the first time in your life that you have done so. But we so often forget. We forget the promises that we make, and we are not faithful in the promises that we make. God made a covenant with Adam, and Adam also forgot. In the busyness of our life, in the temptations that come upon us throughout our life, and then our mind and our hearts so often are also elsewhere, are they not? Thus, Adam brought us, all his posterity, into death. A great misery by forgetting what he had covenanted with God. What is now the difference? Because we just heard the baptism form, and that is also speaking here about a covenant, that is the second covenant. What is now the difference between the second covenant and the first covenant? The greatest difference is that that second covenant is unbreakable. Unbreakable. The Lord has not left it anymore to his fallen creature, to a creature which he could not trust. And that is what we are. Even in our covenants, we are untrustworthy. Does that mean that the Lord does not make the covenant with man? He does. We just heard that. The Lord makes that covenant with his elect, but only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has provided for his elect a surety, a guarantor, one who will make up, who will do everything that is not done by his own elect. And therefore, this covenant is unbreakable because there is a guarantor. There is one that will make sure and that all the conditions that we do not fulfill are indeed fulfilled. We read Jeremiah, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. He says, great is thy faithfulness. And that is now the greatest hope, the greatest expectation for the true church. That is the faithfulness not of ourselves, but it is the faithfulness of the Lord. And then the true church is given to hang on that, to hold on to that. And when everything comes up short from our side, and when we are not able to fulfill what we promised to fulfill, and when there is hopefully grief in our hearts because of this, then there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that is dependent upon our promise. Is that not a wonder? We hope that that may become a wonder to you. The fact that such a surety that is provided for his people, and that it may become a wonder also in due time for your dear children. Congregation, while the children are brought in, we'd like to ask you to sing from Psalter 215, stanzas 4 and 6. And then afterwards, 425, stanza 5. So 215, 4, and 6, a testimony and a law the Lord our God decreed and bade our fathers teach their sons that they his ways might heed. And what follows 4 and 6 of 215. Weston, Thomas, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Grant, David, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, Strengthen these parents in those most holy duties that thou hast laid upon them, that after a short while that they are given to bring up their children, they may also be received by thee. O give them faithfulness, give them wisdom, give them thy grace in a rich measure. Give them faithfulness, but O give them in a special way that true and saving faith, that they may look to thy promise and all that thou doest and wilt do for thy own people, that thou mayest become their hope and their expectation alone, that they may not look unto themselves, but that they may despair of all their own strength, all of their own righteousness, all of their own wisdom, and that they may be in all their labors daily at thy footstool, to give up themselves and their children into thy hands. Remember grandparents, great-grandparents. Lord, thou knowest the gladness of the hearts of them also in this day when their seed may be also brought into that visible church. O give them also a prayer, a place in thine inner, in their inner chamber before thee for their seed, that they also may do their own work, to speak to their children and to their grandchildren, that they may also be instruments in thy hand to those that follow them upon this short journey here below, and that thou may remember all thy people, for it is a sacrament in the midst of thy church. And thou knowest, Lord, what their hope is, their only hope, their only expectation. That is, it is of thee alone. And every time they look away from thee, they are disappointed. And they must be brought back to that same place time and again. O give that also in this day, they may be given to wonder at thy goodness and at thy grace in the midst of thy church. O deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Look thou upon all the congregation, for we are baptized, and we go over this world with the name of a triune God upon our forehead. But we so often forget, and we leave thee days without number. O Lord, that there may be also a congregation, an entire congregation. O leave not one of us behind, and that are brought to cry unto thee in the need of that spiritual death that does lie upon us. For what shall it be to have known the way and not to have walked therein? And to die unconverted, unrenewed, as a rebel, with the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, burning upon our foreheads, a testimony of all that we have heard and seen in our life, a testimony of the hardness of our hearts, a testimony that we have rather chosen to go in our own way, because thou dost say, those that seek me shall find me, and those that ask shall receive an answer, and to those that knock it shall be opened, and thou art every fulfiller of what thou sayest. O Lord, give us then to seek and to ask and to knock, because we do not have it in us by nature. O, let not this baptism and all the baptisms that we have been baptized with testify against us in that great day of days. O Lord, they are things that thou sayest are hid from the wise and the prudent and are revealed unto babes. O, make us babes, Lord. Make us babes in the things of eternity, as a little child in our ignorance of thee, that we may desire to be taught, and that we may come unto thee as a little child, just asking that thou wilt do what we have no power to do and what we do not deserve. Wilt thou look upon all the afflicted and the sick? We remember our brother elder in the hospital. Lord, look upon him in thy mercy. Could it please thee to spare him and to raise him up, that he may yet be for his wife, for his children, and if it could please thee also yet for us as a congregation, and that thou may remember and visit him in his soul where he is in the hospital, that thou would be a sanctuary unto him in the place that thou hast driven him upon this Sabbath day so unexpectedly. Strengthen all that are about him, his wife, his children, and loved ones. Also others, the young mother also, that does recover from surgery, when she has given birth to a child, and thou knowest all the needs of her body, that thou mayst supply for her in thy mercy, and wilt thou look upon all the afflicted and all of the needy. Make us needy in our souls, that the callings of this life may be sanctified. There are many that mourn the losses of those who have gone the way of all the earth, even those that are not so old, even those that were very young. And Lord, it is all in thy hands. O, give all men to bow under thy providence, and that we all may say truly in our hearts, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wilt thou be with us in this hour? Wilt thou strengthen us to do the labors of our hands in this hour to bring this little portion of thy holy word? Give a place for it in our hearts. Forgive and take away all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 123 all the stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 123. congregation, our text for this hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Exodus 2, and thereof the verses 24 and 25. Exodus 2, verses 24 and 25. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So far the words of our text. God remembers his covenant. First, the circumstances of this remembrance. In verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Second, the consequences of this remembrance, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God remembers his covenant. First, the circumstances, and second, the consequences of this remembrance, and God heard their groaning. That is, congregation, a great wonder. We read in God's word that the Lord sitteth on high, and that he beholdeth all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, that he humbleth himself in order to behold them. Not just, we would say, the great things that happen in this world, but also the things that are happening in the life of the smallest child. Just think about David in his youth and Samuel and so on. Or there can be, as so often, and just the smallest things that can make that true church wonder that the Lord, he sees from heaven. The deists say that God created the world and then he left the whole world over to itself. But that is proven to be false each and every day by the supplications, by the prayers of that true church of God. And what makes it such a wonder, that is, that it is even to fallen creatures that have turned their backs unto the Lord, that have fallen away from him. And yet the Lord is looking upon this world. Groaning is a consequence of our sin. The whole world is full of groaning. And yet we read here that God heard their groaning. Did he ever hear your groaning? May you ever know that. May you ever feel that. May you ever experience that the Lord has heard the voice of your groaning. Whose groaning did the Lord hear here? We read it was the children of Israel. Well, the children of Israel, you say, maybe boys and girls, you say that is God's people. Do God's people groan? God's people, they are delivered, are they not, from all their groaning? Are not God's people, young people, are they not a happy people? Are they not the happiest people in all the world? You say, maybe I do not feel the happiness of God's people. I wish I was one of God's true people that I may be happy, but I groan. How is that for God's people? You are right. They are the happiest people in the whole world. There is no happier people than God's people. Do you believe that? And when do they first experience in their life that happiness, that blessedness, and that favor that belongeth to God's people? you say, may be when the Lord assures them that they are His people. That is not true. That is not true. No, that is much sooner than that, that the Lord is bringing that blessedness into their heart. He would say that when a child is born, then he does not have to wait until he is old in order that he may feel something of joy. That is with God's people too. Say, what happens if the Lord converts a person? He begins to weep. You say, is that joy? Yes, that is the joy that we are speaking about. That is the happiness that we are speaking about. About the happiness and the blessedness that is experienced in the tears, in the very first tears. You say, how can that be? How can that be for a Manasseh when he was sitting in that prison on that cold prison floor and the tears are running down his cheeks? Was that a happy man? Oh, yes, he was. That was a happy man for the first time in his life. And what is that happiness that he experienced? That was this. When we turn away from sin, then at the same time, then we are turning unto the Lord. It happened at the same time. If it is one, then it is also the other, isn't it? And when there is that grief for sin, oh, then it is a heart that is going out after the Lord. And a heart that goes out after the Lord is now what we were created to do. Thus we have the restoration already in that young soul that is born again. But yet here we read about groaning, and the Lord heard their groaning. So what does it mean to groan? Well, that speaks about an affliction that is taking a long, long time. A people that are weary under their affliction because it is continuing for such a long time. And who is this now about? How long did the children of Israel suffer that we read about here? Well, that was probably close to 100 years that they had to suffer. So how do we know that? Well, it was before already Moses was born, wasn't it, boys and girls? Before he was born. Because already when his mother put him there in that water, in that basket, then that people were suffering. And now how old was Moses when the Lord sent him to the children of Israel to deliver them out of the land of Egypt? You say he was 80 years old. That is right. So that was a long 80 years, wasn't it? So probably around 100 years, the children of Israel have endured this affliction. And we? How long has our affliction been? How long has your affliction been? How long have you been waiting? How long have you been crying? Are you still crying? And why do you still cry? Why don't you just go away? Why don't you just forsake it? Why don't you just go out into the world? Because the Lord doesn't hear you anyway. Temporary faith, congregation, does not wait. Temporary faith cannot wait. Temporary faith has no depth of earth. And thus, in the way of persecution, in the way of affliction that is long continued, it is temporary. But through saving faith, when that is planted in the heart of his people, that waits. Why does it wait? Because it can wait? No. Not because it can wait, but because there is nothing else it can do but wait. Then they say, to whom else shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That is cruel, isn't it? That the Lord makes his people wait so long, 100 years. Is that so? That the Lord is cruel unto his people? Let us ask God's people. Ask each and every one of them about whether the Lord is cruel. And then you will get a different answer. But why is it then that the Lord waits? We read that in the Word of God. Isaiah tells us the answer to that question. He says, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Thus the Lord does not wait because he is cruel. It's just the opposite. The Lord is waiting, it says, because that he may be gracious, that he may have mercy. Thus it is not that the Lord is not ready to give. Say, what is it then? Well, then it is that his people are not yet ready to receive. That is it. The children of Israel have not suffered very long when that little baby was born. When the Lord already is going to send that child, that deliverer, into their midst. And the Lord has given to him an education in the court of Pharaoh, and the Lord has prepared him for what he stood in need of, to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then what? And then Moses comes out. He is 40 years old. And he goes out to look upon the affliction of his people. And then he sees an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. And now the Lord has put in his heart something. That is something for his people. There is a love for that people. He has grown up in that court of Pharaoh, but he has not forgotten the people of the Lord. He has not forgotten where he comes from. He has not forgotten who he actually is and who are his own people. And the Lord puts a love in his heart for that people, and a compassion in his heart for that people. It is the afflicted people of the Lord. Oh, do we ever have in our love planted by the Lord a love for his people? That is a tried, it is an afflicted people of the Lord. And Moses, he goes out to see, to look upon their afflictions, and then he sees an oppressor. And when he sees that oppressor, he smites him. That is an enemy, actually, of the Lord's people. Thus he is only 40 years old. And Moses, he is ready to deliver them, we would say. But the people are not ready to be delivered. We see Moses goes out the second day. And he sees his brethren quarreling with one another. And he rebukes them. Why do you quarrel with one another? And he gets this reply. Who made thee a prince? Who made thee a judge over us? Thus, congregation, he is rejected. He is rejected by his own people. Because the people have not yet been brought into the right place. Moses is sent away by the Lord. He is sent away into the wilderness. Is that because the Lord is not ready to deliver his people? No, it is because his people are not yet ready to receive a deliverer. And thus 40 more years, the children of Israel have to wait. They have to wait until when? They have to wait until what we read here, that they begin to groan. That they groan under their affliction, and it came to pass in process of time. Thus, that is what it takes so often. Not always. Sometimes the Lord works very, very quickly. But most of the time, it is as we read here, it came to pass in process of time. And that is what we read now when the Lord Jesus is speaking about that seed that is falling on good ground. What does that take? That is taking a process of time. And then there is work for that man who has to dig deep to set his house upon a rock. And it came to pass in process of time. Oh, the Lord, he is working through time. With him, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. But now with a people, oh, it can take so long a time, they think. Oh, they think it will take forever. And maybe never, oh, maybe never will I be delivered by the Lord. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage and cried. Is that where you have come yet? Sighing and crying. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. That is now what the Lord was looking for. That is what the Lord is waiting for. And not just waiting, but that was what the Lord was working, wasn't he? In his providence with Pharaoh. That was what the Lord was working in the heart of his own people. A sigh and a cry. It took another 40 years. Took another 40 years. How long will it take? We think we are so ready, don't we? You say, if the Lord was only so ready as I am, is that true? Oh, the Lord says, if you were only so ready as he is, how long will that take before we acknowledge who we are? How long will it take before that we will declare our sinful existence before the Lord? Before that we will stop upholding ourselves before the Lord? We read about a Canaanitish woman. And now that woman had to wait, you say, that is right. And yet who was waiting? That woman? Or the Lord Jesus? Who was waiting? And how long did the Lord Jesus wait? As soon as that woman said, "Truth, Lord, I am a dog. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Now tell me, How long did the Lord wait? He did not wait any longer, did he? The Lord did not wait one moment longer. And now what does the Lord say to us? He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against me. Only acknowledge it. And that thou hast scattered thy ways to every idol under every green tree. And that thou hast forsaken me. That is what the Lord is waiting for. For what? That he may be gracious. That he may be gracious. And that is what now that people are going to find out. And that is what you will find out too. That is what you will find out too. If you ever may come into this place. And it came to pass in process of time. That the children of Israel sighed and cried. And their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And then what do we read? Do we read that the Lord waited? Once that cry came up? When that sigh came up? That the Lord says another 40 years? No, we don't read that. No, we read immediately after that. And God heard their groaning immediately. And why would he not? You heard last week, I understand, about the prodigal son, right? How long did that father wait? How long did he wait? Was he not looking for him every day? As soon as he saw a turning, as soon as he saw a drawing nigh, oh, then the heart of that father is burning. No, then the heart of that father cannot wait anymore, can he? Because it is a heart of compassion. How long did Joseph wait? When once those brothers came into that right place, and he had to work it all. It all had to come, because we will not come in that right place, will we? No, then Joseph had to do it all. Then it is not those brothers that are waiting, no, but it is Joseph. And now as soon as those brothers and Joseph knows what that place is that they have to come, and as soon as they come there, we are guilty. We are verily guilty concerning our brother. Does he wait more? He cannot wait more. Because he has been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Waiting to do what? Oh, he is waiting to show the compassion and the mercy and the grace that is living in his bowels. Do you believe the Lord is waiting for that? That the Lord delights to show mercy to such a man? And that the Lord would also delight to show that mercy and that grace to any one of us? Or in that day that his Spirit may bring us in this place, then we are going to experience this. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. The Lord is a God of great pity. Of great pity, gracious, the psalmist says, and full of compassion. But congregation, he is also just. He cannot just look through his fingers at sin. No, he has a justice that must be satisfied. Thus, there is only one way. There is only one way that he can can show that mercy, bestow that grace that is living and that is burning within his own bowels unto his people. There is only one way that he can exercise his compassionate heart. And thus we read, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. That is the only way. The only way. What was that covenant? Well, if you go back, Genesis 15, then you read that the Lord appears to Abram, and he tells him that his seed is going to be a stranger in a strange land. They're going to have to serve, and that the Lord is going to deliver them, and he is going to bring them out, and he is going to give them a great substance in that way. But what is now connected to all that? That was not everything. Because we read that the Lord comes and he makes a covenant of circumcision that was Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. The Lord says, I am going to be a God unto you, and I am going to be a God also unto your seed. But how could he do that? How could he do that to Abraham, Isaac, or to Jacob? We read of their own iniquity, the things that they have not been faultless in. And thus they also cannot appear before God, and God cannot look through their sin either. How can that be? It can be only because that covenant that the Lord is making, the Lord makes that covenant, and he includes in that covenant the fulfillment of his own justice. What did the Lord say to Abraham? Abraham is offering up his own son. And then the Lord appears to him, and he says to him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All the nations of the earth. Who is he speaking about? Paul tells us who he is speaking about, because he says that in the New Testament. He says, now to Abram and to his seed were the promises made. And then he says, and it is not to seeds as of many, but he says, as of one, that is to thy seed, which is Christ. Thus, here we have the covenant. It says, and God remembered his covenant, that people, he hears their groaning. And when he hears their groaning, then he thinks upon, he remembers the promise that he himself had made. And this is now that covenant because of which he was able to hear and to answer their groaning. But let us sing a moment from Psalter 47, stanzas 1 and 10. my God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1 and 10 of Psalter 47.
Thank you.
God remembers his covenant, first the circumstances, second the consequences of this remembrance. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Thus he heard, God heard. It all begins with God, doesn't it? You see that, young people? God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God had respect. That's the Bible. That's the wonder. For a people who departed from him, is that not a wonder? All begins with him. It all ends with him. What did the people do? They just cried. You do that too? They just cried unto God. Thus God heard, and God remembered, and now it says, God looked upon them. What does that mean? It means to see or to observe, just like God took his attention as we, that cannot be, because he is not like us. He sees everything always and it's with the same eyes. But that speaks just like as if he was a man and we were looking here and then God heard and then he looked over there. He looked to see, he turned his attention, as it were, to this cry. How can the Lord do that? There is a common grace that the Lord can look upon people who cry in the world. That is true. But that is not for things eternal. In hell, God will never turn. He will never look like he has looked here. How is that only possible that the Lord would give his attention unto a people who are crying? It is their own fault for which they are crying. How is it possible that the Lord can give his attention? That is only by remembering. By remembering his own covenant. Outside of that covenant, there is no looking. And we just sang something together. We sang something together about the cross. We know when the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he also cried, didn't he? He cried, "Oh, my Father," when his sweat became as great drops of blood falling to the ground. "Oh, my Father, if this cup might pass from me." He was a man, he was a human being, just like you, just like me, human soul suffering under the divine wrath of God, that this might pass from me. But the Lord did not hear. He did not hear. And he did not look either upon him. Then a little while later, he cried again, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Pains of soul, pains of body, excruciating pains. And God did not hear. And God did not look upon him. And why not? Because of his covenant. Because of his covenant. He had covenanted with his Father. Already in that never begun eternity. And he has agreed with his Father that he would do this. And he has also agreed that his Father would not hear him. When he suffered, that the Father would not deliver him. Oh, that was the covenant of redemption between the Father and the Son, a covenant that was truly fulfilled in the time. That covenant in the time, oh, it is actually all one covenant. It is not two covenants. It is one covenant. And that covenant, for the sake of which God is able to look upon his church. Oh, that covenant referred to here in baptism is the same covenant that is of circumcision, and it is congregation, not a covenant that is between God and Abraham and his natural seed. That is not the party. Abraham and his natural seed. There is nothing certain about a covenant that is made merely with a man, with a fallen man, not even if it is Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses. No. That is now the three covenant theology that says that covenant of grace is between God the Father and Abraham and his natural seed, so that every baptized child is in the covenant of grace. But three covenant theology says that's not saving. It's not saving. Oh, congregation, how poor. That is so very, very poor. It is a good thing it is not true. It is a good thing that it is so false, because that covenant of grace is a saving covenant. It is a covenant that is made with the elect in the Lord Jesus Christ, in their surety, who does and who will fulfill every single iota of what that people cannot fulfill, making it so sure, making it so certain, that not a single one of that people is able to go lost. Does it have an outward administration? Of course it does. It did in the Old Testament also. It does in the New Testament also. They are not all Israel that are of Israel. Certainly that is true. But now that covenant itself, that covenant of grace, that is not just an offer. That is not just an offer, no. That covenant of grace is so sure. It is a promise of the Lord, what he is going to do for his own people. What do we read here? We read, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Do you know what that means? That word means to know, as it were, to recognize, to discern them. Thus, God looks upon the children of Israel whose cry is coming up unto heaven, whose sigh is coming up unto heaven. That was not the same as the cry of the whole world. No, God looks to that people, and God says, I know them. I know them. No, not every one of them, as his own people, as an individual, but they are now the children of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And I have made a promise. I have made a promise. I'm going to work among that seed of that people. And there they are. Their groaning is come up to God because of an outward affliction. But there's also people. There's people in that whole multitude. They were the true Zion. They were God's true people. And there was another cry There was a cry that came up out of their heart. There is a sigh because of bondage, because of the bondage of iniquity, that are tied to sin, to the world, and to the devil, and who are not able to deliver themselves from that bondage. And that people, where they are scattered among the children of Israel, they are now represented. They are represented by these children of Israel who are circumcised. And God had respect unto them in their groaning. He heard them. He looked upon them when he remembered his covenant. And our congregation, we live in a day that such a groaning people are despised. They're despised. They are mocked. They're still groaning. But we have come much further. Because we have now exercised faith that God commands us to exercise. Sure. True. There they sit. With tears in their eyes. And tears in their heart. Because they do not have it. And they are despised, but they are not despised by the Lord. No, the Lord says, I know them. They are my people. These are the people concerning whom I have made a covenant. These are the people concerning whom I have made a promise. These are mine elect. That cry day and night unto me, though I bear long with them. Do you still wait? Do you still wait? How long have you been waiting? While others are mocking. And you say, I cannot do any different. Because I do not have what I need to do different. And you say that I am supposed to believe. And I wish I had faith. And I wish I could see him. And I wish that he would reveal himself to me. And everyone else is going in. And I stay still behind. How long are you waiting? Can you not deliver yourself from your bondage? Is Pharaoh too strong for you? Will he not let you go? Is that heart too wicked? That it is cleaving to everything that is here below? Do you still wait? And what can you do but cry? What can you do but sigh by reason of your bondage? Oh, congregation, the Lord knows. The Lord knows when we have come in the right place. We can't bring ourselves there, can we? You cannot do it. I cannot do it. God's people cannot do it. They cannot do it for the first time. They also cannot do it by renewal. But the Lord works. And then the Lord waits. And when the Lord hears that groaning, and he remembers his covenant, Oh, the Lord is going to do something. He is ready to do something for His people. He is ready to deliver them from that bondage. He is ready to work a mighty deliverance for that people of Israel who are sighing and who are crying under that bondage. He's going to do something for the children of Israel that the children of Israel have to experience. They are not able to do for themselves. He's going to do it because He has to do it. He has to do it. Reverently speaking, He is bound. He is bound. He has bound Himself for His people. And His Son, reverently speaking, is holding Him to it. Why? My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? So that that people will never be forsaken of Him. Oh, He has to do it. He is bound by His own word. He is bound by His own covenant. He is bound by His own Son. And His Son says, Father, that is now My people. That is now My people. Congregation, do you know what the world says? The Lord helps those who help themselves. The Lord helps those who help themselves. You know what we read in the Bible? Just the other way around. The Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. Are there those here today who cannot help themselves? In that slavery, in that bondage of iniquity, are there those who are brought into their own guilt? A poor sinner. I don't mean a sinner who pities himself. That's self-pity. No. A sinner before God, but a poor sinner. What is a poor sinner? That is one who cannot help himself out of it. That sinful existence. And who can do nothing but sigh and cry. Oh, then there is hope. Then there is hope. When in process of time, your sigh and your cry, and that will come up in the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Oh, it is a people that are baptized, that are baptized in an outward way. Oh, that covenant of the Lord, that visible church, or congregation, that is different than not being baptized. Or there is something so precious in it. There is a duty in it, yes. Or do we do our duty? How do we live in this world? Do we look like the people of the world? Do we do like the people of the world? Do we watch the movies of the people of the world? Or are we separate from the world when we are baptized? But not a promise of the Lord. Oh, that has to do with a people that are under that sign and under that seal. And in process of time, under the administration of the word, under the administration of the covenant, of the sacraments, under the instruction, under the teachings, catechism, school, fathers, mothers, and they're going to be there. Then they're going to be there. Here and there. Oh, how many. How many. Whose sigh and whose cry is going to come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. then that affliction may be long. Affliction may be long. And then the Lord will weed them out. The hypocrites. Will the hypocrite always call upon God? No. He cannot wait. But that people, they're going to remain there. They're going to remain at his footstool. They're going to sigh. They're going to cry. The Lord will preserve them there. And in process of time, oh, the Lord is going to turn and look. He's going to say, that is my people. That is my people. He's going to remember his covenant. And then he is going to do. The congregation, the Lord heard their groanings. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is thy word, O Lord. O that thou may give hope and expectation in the hearts of those who cry and who sigh. O Lord, see them, look upon them in their bondage. Remember thy own covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. O remember thy own covenant with thy own dear and only begotten Son. Remember that thou hast not heard his cry, that he has accomplished everything, and that he has taken away all the curse, all the iniquity. And wilt thou hear in heaven thy dwelling place? And when thou hearest, forgive. O Lord, remember each and every one of us. Forgive and take away all of our multitude of sins. And be with us in the rest of this day and in this week. Keep us from sin. And give us those blessed meditations upon thy holy word of truth, that we may seek thee with all our heart, might, and strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore, in what follows in all stanzas of Psalter 110. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.